This morning, I want to share with you the prophecy of the new covenant found in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Covenant? Think contract. It's only a matter of time before you have to be part of a contract. For example, if you buy a nice car, one that is much more expensive than the sum total of your cash on hand, you might get a loan from the bank, a contract that spells out the amount of money they will give you as a loan, along with your agreement to pay it all back by a certain date with a certain level of interest charged. When you move out of your parents' home and you rent an apartment, you sign a lease, a contract spelling out what the landlord provides to you, how much rent you're going to pay, and the terms of what you can and cannot do as an occupant of that rental space, whether it's an apartment or somebody's house. Certain job offers become detailed contracts that line out the work done by the employee and the compensation paid by the employer. Now let's notice a common feature with the examples given. It's give and take. It's a two-way street in which you pay or give or do something in return for receiving something else. Thankfully, the new covenant of our text, which is God's contract with us, is never a two-way street. It is entirely one-sided. With this arrangement in place, God is the giver, God is the doer, and we receive and possess His benefits to us. Best of all, because of that arrangement, this new covenant is going to be unbreakable. To appreciate the value of that, I want you to consider the alternative. If you and I had to deal with God on the basis of a merit system in which His high standard of holiness is the measuring stick, the whole thing would be doomed to fail. The deal would be broken on day one, and the fault would be entirely ours. We would be no better than the children of Israel, breaking the law of Moses. Or to use the examples, we would be like a bad tenant who deserves to be evicted because we have trashed the apartment. Or the bad employee deserving to be fired because we have stolen much from the boss. We would surely default on our loan with God, bankrupting ourselves by our many sins, unable to pay off the debt we owe Him. God, of course, knew this human problem ahead of time, and so His new covenant has been underwritten by grace. His one-way grace at work from start to finish. He initiated the offer. He made the first move with His promise of our salvation in Christ. At the appointed time, Jesus came and did all the hard work, keeping every commandment for you offering His sacrifice on the cross as the one-time complete payment of your debt with God. To this very day, the Holy Spirit delivers the goods, benefits from God through the Word, straight to your hearts. And He even gives us the faith to believe, that is to receive and possess these blessings. Let's notice how the new covenant of grace has the capacity to do something that human contracts could never accomplish. It's the internal power to change the wayward heart, to recover the lost soul, to comfort, to reassure, to instruct. It's described in these words, God acting, verse 33, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The promise goes on in verse 34, referring to believers, they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. That right there is the energizing thing of the covenant. God's forgiveness of our sins. Something that He uses as the unfailing power to succeed. His new contract with us is destined to be beneficial to both sides. An unparalleled win-win for Him and for us. He wins us and all believers as His people forever. We win Him as our God, our Father, our Savior, our eternal life. This contract will not be broken. Not by Him. Not even by us. That's going to be true, of course, because of what God does. How He finishes what He started. He fulfills what He promised. He preserves what He has placed into our hearts. His forgiveness of our sins becomes the cement of the whole deal. Something that God will use again and again to win us over, to win us back, to keep us as His own forever. That's His pledge to you up front. His contract, signed and sealed in His Word, delivered to us by grace in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us close singing all stanzas of hymn 705. 705.